Sense you are already there. You're already living in your promised land. But actually, it's a different matter when it comes to the church. And as a church, we have not yet completely, entirely crossed over. And it's a period, it's a transitioning time, because we're all different. We're all in different places this morning, spiritually speaking. And God is wanting us as a group of people, as a church, to cross over together as a whole body. And that's both a very spiritual thing, and it's also a practical thing as well. It has lots of practical and spiritual implications. And I referred some weeks ago to a picture I had of God calling us together, and I could see people were on the edge. Some people were going away instead of coming together. Other people were in indecision. Other people were coming very close, and some people were walking slowly towards the centre like a great crowd of people. And the Lord says, I'm calling my people together. And then the next thing was, I had this picture of, as God was calling people together, there was a sense of we were right at the edge, if you like, about to cross over something like the River Jordan. So that's where we are spiritually. God is calling us over as a whole body, as a whole church. And it's a word within Kingdom Faith that both Pastor Colin and Pastor Clive have received different, but the same word, but basically the same word from the Lord, that within Kingdom Faith, God is calling Kingdom Faith to cross over. Amen. He's calling other churches to do the same thing at this time, but there's a purpose that God has called us to. And let's just read verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I have given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you will divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong. Just turn to someone and say, be strong.
Be strong.
And very courageous. We need to encourage one another to be strong. Now, this doesn't mean to be strong in yourself. It means to be strong in the Lord. It literally means to be strengthened in the Lord, strengthened by the Lord, by the Spirit that is within you. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the word of God, really, is what it's saying there. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper, be successful wherever you go. Now, remember, these words are being spoken to Joshua, who's about to cross over. These are words for crossing over. These are words that we need to hear at this time, to be strong and very courageous. Now, why do you think God gave that to Joshua? Because he needed to hear those words up front before he crossed over. Because he was going to need to be strong and he was going to need to be courageous. Life wasn't going to suddenly get really rosy when he got to the other side. It might be a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's actually some giants in the land. There's actually some cities to defeat, and there's a Jericho immediately the other side that needs to be broken down by the glory and the power of God. And so God is bringing this word, be strong and very courageous, because I'm about to release my power. And it's nothing to do with us, it has everything to do with Him. Yeah. But it's to do with us following Him and being right with God and stirring our personal relationship up with the Lord, being in that place with Him where we're being revived, and then being revived as a people so that we cross over together and do the things God's asked us to do. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, talking about God's word, but you will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. This is talking about crossing over. This is what God is calling us to do. In our crossing over, He's going to give us great success. Right? He's going to prosper us as a people. Have I not commanded you? This is a command now. This is a command to do with crossing over. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. You will go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Okay, so I'm reading it out just so that we have a background of what God is saying to us. In verse 13, in the same chapter, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. So in this land, God is wanting us to be in a place of rest. Not rest, not doing anything, but rest is a position. Rest is a peace. Yeah. Rest is a place that we have in Christ and we have as a people, so that no matter what's going on around us,
that's right.
Jesus is in the boat.
Amen.
And we will experience the rest of God. That means that Jesus, who is Lord, is taking control in our lives and in our situations that we find ourselves in. And God wants us to enter into rest. Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, if you want to read about it, that's a great couple of chapters to read about, because the problem, the reason why so many of the people didn't get to cross over, this is a generation that was with Moses, was they did not believe God. They were in unbelief, they were in doubt, they were in fear, they grumbled, they complained, they became negative. They said they did all the wrong things that you should not do when you're in the wilderness. And because of that, God eventually said, enough is enough, you're not going in. I'm going to raise up the next generation, which would have been their children. And Joshua, who was the assistant to Moses, Joshua, who had experienced the same glory that Moses had. Joshua was Moses' disciple, really. And Moses had trained Joshua up. And Joshua was the leader that led the children of Israel into the promised land, the next generation, because he knew that he'd find in this generation a people of faith. And it's a picture for us. God's calling us to cross over as a people of faith into the promised land, into the purposes that God has for us. Let's look at Joshua chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Talking about the presence of the Lord. That the key to crossing over is the glory of God. The key to crossing over is the worship and adoration of meeting with the Lord, of knowing the Lord, of loving Him, of having that desire for Him, and of actually maintaining that the glory is the center of everything. The glory of the presence of God is the center of absolutely everything. And so this is what happened. The ark that was that the Levites were carrying actually carried the presence of God. It represented the glorious presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you. It will be about 200 cubits. That's about 1,000 yards. Don't come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Have you experienced something in God that you've never experienced before? You know when you have a new experience of God? You know when you have a new revelation or something happens or God uses you in a way that perhaps you've never experienced before? It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
And yet, you know, the Lord wants us to have, it says, new every morning are your mercies, great is your faithfulness. And the Lord actually, His intention is that we should be experiencing new things of the Holy Spirit, of the love of Jesus, of the power of God in our lives. Every week we should have experienced new things of Him. Because the Bible says that He's got new things for us. Actually, every day there are new things for us to go and catch hold of. There's new things for us to dig up out of the Word of God. There's new things that He wants us to discover about who He is. Not just for us, but for others. There's new things for you every day. Amen. There are new things that God wants you to experience of Him. And the Lord says here, you have not passed this way before. That means that we're not going to go round and round in some more circles like the children of Israel did for 40 years. And it was a bit boring, really, because they repeated the same errors. They sinned the same sins. They kind of repented and kind of got into faith, and then they went back again. But with this new generation, with the Joshua generation, with this generation, the children of the unbelieving families that were beginning to grow up under Joshua, they became a faith people. And God was saying, and He's saying to us as a church, you're going to go places you've not been to before.
Amen.
Rooms shaking after prayer sounds like a good one to me.
Yeah, amen.
I've experienced that once. I've experienced a shaking in a room like that. And there's new things that God wants us to experience. It's not just about feeling experiences, but moving in new things that God wants us to walk in with Him. Amen. You have not passed this way before. That word pass in verse 5 literally means cross over. You have not crossed over this way before. It literally means going from one side to the other. And the Lord has us on a journey, my brothers and sisters, as a whole church. I know many people aren't here this morning, and we want to make sure that this message gets to them as well. But God is calling us as a church, as a body. That's Crawley, East Grinstead, us as a church. In the whole of Kingdom Faith, God is calling us to go from one side, from where we are, from a position perhaps we've been in for quite a period of time, and He's saying, it's time to cross over.
Hallelujah.
It's time to literally cross over. That means crossing over in your personal walk with God. It starts personally, personal revival, meeting with the Lord, letting the Spirit of God do new things inside of you. And it's talking about us as a body, as a church, that God's saying, as a people, we're going to experience a crossing over period of time now. And we've started.
Yes.
We're on the move. And just come with me, please, to... let's go to Joshua chapter 4. And we're not going to read the whole of this, but just to say this, that the children of Israel followed Joshua and followed his instructions, and the whole group of people, no one was left, everyone went over. That's good news, isn't it? Everybody went over of this new generation. And we're living in a generation of time where we are going over. We're crossing over, spiritually speaking. I like something I heard Pastor Collins say recently. He said that he's seen God move in revival in two main ways, two main categories. One is through a time or a season of repentance, which has birthed a reviving work of the Spirit. And the other actually is a way of a season of incredible blessing, which actually also produces repentance, but in a different way. And the season of blessing, there's a season of blessing that God is actually releasing over the church at this time. That season of blessing is... You know when someone does you, not just a favour, someone does something to you that you know you didn't deserve. Someone blesses you perhaps with a gift that is beyond anything you've ever received before. Someone shows you a kindness that goes beyond the call of duty. Someone actually does something for you that is very, very humbling. God is like that to us. And in the season of blessing, it's like God's grace, and this is why we've been doing this series on grace, is God's grace, God's undeserved, powerful favour is being poured out upon the church almost despite us. Almost despite how you are or how I am or how we are as a people. And He says, my grace I have given to you. And as you receive this grace, which you don't deserve, this grace, this life of the Spirit, this power of my presence will enable you, and that's what grace does, enable you to cross over from where you are and get to the other side.
Yeah.
That's what grace does. Grace is not a work that we can do. Grace is a work that God does. And as we obey God, God enables us to go from here to there. Does it make sense?
Yes. Amen.
And you can apply this in your personal walk with God as well as a church. And the whole story in Joshua 4 is how that they literally crossed over, how they set up stones. They got stones from the middle of the Jordan River. the Levites went in there with the Ark of the Presence, and when the Ark of the Presence went into the river, Jordan, all of the water stood back. Talking about the presence of God, talking about the glory of God, that if we're going to cross over as God wants us to, everything has to be wrapped around the glory of God. It's a meeting with Him. It all comes out of meeting with God in His glory and His presence. And the glory of God, when the glory of God is in the centre, everything begins to happen. Supernatural things begin to happen. People begin to get saved in greater numbers. Miracles begin to occur in unusual ways, but many of them. And we see that God's kingdom coming. And verse 18 says, "And it came to pass when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before." In other words, once they crossed over this river Jordan, by the way, this was a flood time. This was a fast-moving river. I don't know how wide it was, but at this period of time, it was impossible to cross. And when the presence of God came, the waters supernaturally opened up back quite some way away. And it says the waters built up like a wall, and they crossed over. And when everyone had got over, and then the Ark of the Covenant, the Levites were carrying in the middle of the river, they picked the Ark up, they went themselves over. They were the last, first to go in and the last to come out. But once they got over to the other side, the waters came back down again. Once you cross over, you can't go back.
Yes, that's right.
There is no going back.
Yes, that's right.
Once you're in, you're in.
Amen.
And then it's then up to us to then to move forward and start possessing the things that God has given to us in the land, in the land of promise. This makes sense.
Yes.
And this is where we are as a body. This is where we are as a church. We thank God for all of the incredible things that we've seen. I've seen lots of great things in my Christian life. I've seen great things in the church. But I know that the greatest things are yet to come.
Amen.
I know the greatest things we haven't yet seen in the church. But the greater things are on the way. And this is what the crossing over is all about. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 24. Verse 23, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did in the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know." That all the peoples of the earth may know. That all the peoples of the earth may know. This crossing over thing isn't a little thing happening in Sussex or a little thing happening in England. This crossing over is a prophetic word from God, from heaven, to his church on the earth at this time. And it says that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
That it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.
Amen.
God's hand is actually in this crossing over. Amen. And God wants peoples of the earth, he wants the Muslims in our nation. We've got loads of Muslims in Crawley. It's like every other one's a Muslim.
Yeah.
So why are they there? God's brought them here to get saved.
Amen.
God's brought
Amen.
Them here so that they may hear and know the hand of the Lord
Amen.
That is mighty. They're not a threat to us.
No.
They're a provision from God for us to share the gospel with.
Yeah.
And as we declare the gospel in its power, they will know the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. So it's about crossing over. There's a grace that God is giving us to cross over. I'd like us to go to the Gospel of Mark, if we could go there. Gospel of Mark. Because there was another crossing over that I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me about this in the week. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 35. Are you all with me?
Yeah, well,
I'm not against you. You're not against me, that's good. That's very wise. Verse 35, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them," Jesus said to the disciples, "let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him." And it says, "and a great windstorm," actually it literally means like a hurricane force, "a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat," literally they began to pour out into the boat, "so that it was already filling up. But Jesus was in the stern of the boat. That's the, I believe, in my nautical limited understanding, that's the front of the boat. Is that right?
Back.
Oh, it's the back. Oh, there you go. I know nothing, you see. In the back of the boat. I thought the stern was at the front. Anyway, is it the bows? The bow's the front. And the stern's the back. Okay, right. Forgive me for my ignorance. And Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat then, on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And it says they feared exceedingly. In other words, they were in awe now of Jesus, of actually this incredible miracle that happened while they were crossing over, and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want you just to imagine this, this story this morning. Jesus is in the boat. Jesus has spoken a word, "Let us cross over to the other side." The Lord has spoken his word to the church and speaking to the church in this nation, to the church around the earth. He's saying, "Cross over. Let us cross over to the other side," because the Lord is with us.
Yes.
And I've noticed when God gives you an encouraging word, it's funny how almost on the tail of that encouraging word, that prophetic word that comes, where we feel so good about it, it's almost like on the back end of it comes something really, really negative. Not from God. But it's almost like immediately God speaks a word, like "be strong and very courageous," you then get you can get knocked back if you're not being strong and very courageous.
Yes.
And it's amazing that God has been speaking about crossing over, and I've noticed that some people have left the church. And I've been saying, "Lord, that wasn't supposed to happen, was it?" And he said to me, "This is all part of crossing over." Is that when you start to cross over, you'll start hitting a windstorm. Because the devil wanted to stop Jesus and the disciples from crossing over over the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was asleep in the boat. He was already living on the other side. He was in a place of rest. He was in a place of genuine, I mean real faith. Not made up faith, not whipped up faith. He was in faith in the Father. So he knew that everything was under the control of God, the Father, and he was in his hand. And when the disciples started to, they were in fear, they were in unbelief, they literally thought they were going to drown. These are our experienced fishermen. They've often been on the Sea of Galilee. There must have been many squalls and hurricane-type forces on, but this was an unusual gale force wind, probably one of those twisters that came on the boat, sent especially against the boat to stop them getting to the other side. And when Jesus is woken up, he immediately rises up, stands up in the boat, and when we went to Israel, we saw probably what those boats would have been like. They're not huge boats. They're big enough to take, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 people, something like that. They're not a wooden boat. I can just imagine, in a storm force gale, how very easily the water could quite easily sweep into the boat. And the disciples were scared that they were going to die. They were frightened for their lives. And so it must have been bad. And it says Jesus rebuked the wind. Immediately just spoke to the wind and commanded it to shut up. Is actually literally what it means. He commanded. He said, "Hush up. Shut up." That's what he told the wind to do. And with that authority, it says immediately the wind ceased. And he also spoke to the sea that they were crossing over. "Peace, be still." Peace, that word peace, nothing broken, nothing missing, everything complete, everything whole. Jesus spoke those words and it says the wind stopped and there was peace on the waters and a great calm. And he said to the disciples, "Why are you fearful?" What was Jesus demonstrating? He was demonstrating to the disciples, "You should have done that. You were in the boat, you're in the same boat as me, you should have left me asleep, I was having a rest. I'd already said we'd get to the other side." The disciples missed out on a great faith adventure. Is they should have stood up and rebuked the wind and spoken peace over the sea, because they had him with them in the boat. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
When you face a storm, I know some of you are facing a storm at the moment, and maybe there's some storms going off in the church right now, but if we will speak to the wind and command it to be quiet, to stop, in the name of Jesus, that's the authority we have over demonic powers that send the wind, that send disturbances. You know, you can get a wind that blows someone off course. You think, 5 minutes ago they were here. 5 minutes ago they were saying this, that and the other, and it was so right. And then a few minutes, or just over a very, very short period of time, it's like everything has changed. Who did that? What happened? It was a work of the enemy. It was a deceitful work of the devil to take someone off course from where they were going. And we need to wise up and be in prayer against these forces of darkness. And then as we speak with authority, the wind will drop. It'll have to stop. Everything has to stop at the name of Jesus. And when we speak peace, the peace will come. And we may have a number of those storms on our transition going from this side to the other. But God says, I've given you the authority. I've spoken my word. You're going to get to the other side. And I want you to begin to ask the Lord to give you a vision, give you a clear vision of the things he wants you to do in your Christian life, what he wants you to do in the church, of what he wants us to be doing as we get to the other side. Because there's miracles waiting to happen. There's miracles. There's thousands of people waiting to be saved. God's kingdom is coming. God wants his kingdom to advance in an accelerated way at this time. Not in the way that we've known, where it seems like everything has taken so long just to get so far. But God's saying it's time to cross over. This is a crossing over time. And you're going to really possess the land that I've called you to possess. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. And he actually said to the disciples, he asked them a question, why have you no faith? Wow, what a rebuke from the Lord. Why have you no faith? I've been with you for 3 years. I've demonstrated my love and power with you. I've shown you how to do it. And here you are in a boat. The first thing you should have thought of was stand up and rebuke the wind. And they didn't. And Jesus is saying to us, I'm in the boat with you. He's saying, be strong and of a great courage this morning, church. I'm with you. I'm in the boat with you. I'm in peace. I'm in rest. And when you face a storm, which you will do, when you face a storm, you know what to do about it. Take authority over the wind and rebuke the winds and command the waters to be still, peace. And the presence of God will come and will enable us to cross over to the other side. It says, they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Authority. God is restoring authority to the church. And that's what this crossing over is all about. It's regaining our authority that we have. Not a leader, not just a person, but church. The church regaining her authority and beginning to arise and to shine because her light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon her. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. We won't carry on reading it, but if you read there, immediately when Jesus gets to the other side, what's the first thing he encounters? A demon-possessed man, full of demons. So crossing over isn't just about, oh, this is going to be heavenly, it's going to be rosy, it's going to be, you know, it's just going to be easy, easy peasy. No, but entering into the promised land will give us new challenges, but there's a powerful grace that God is leading us into where we're going to get the job done.
Amen.
Where we're going to actually see the glory of the kingdom of God come. And we haven't passed this way before. So are you ready?
Yes. Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to cross over as a church? Are we ready to cross over as a church? We need to hear this message and begin to respond to it in our prayers. And we'll probably be talking about this in the coming few weeks. To make sure that we've got it and we're beginning to cross over.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, and agreeing with it. Agreeing with this. This is God's word.
Amen.
It's not a word that was thought up. It's not a word that was concocted. This is a word that God is speaking to us. I want you to cross over and to cross over together.
Yes.
Agreement, yes. Unity of the Spirit, united in faith, united in vision, where God can move. Amen.
Amen.
If you need, I just felt this morning, this is how we're going to finish this morning. We're going to finish with a song of worship. Nothing is impossible for you. But as we sing this song, I want us to respond this morning. Some of you are facing something where you personally need to cross over. There's a crossing over point here. And you are challenged because to cross over means that you've got to go through something. But the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And if there's a personal thing that you're crossing over, I want you to come down the front this morning. If there's something that God is speaking to you about this morning, he's saying, I want you to cross over. Whatever it is, whatever matter it is, I want you to step forward this morning in faith and say, Lord, I'm going to cross over to the other side with, and you're with me. I'm going to see your victory come. If this morning you're saying, I'm a part of this church, I'm part of Kingdom Faith Church here, and I, as a declaration of my faith, I'm going to get out of my seat, I'm going to come down the front here, and I'm just going to do this as an act of faith that, Lord, I count me in because I'm crossing over.